This morning, I want to preach a message to you that I'm pulling the scripture from the book of Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, I could have read probably all of that chapter, but I'm trying to save time this morning because today is Membership Sunday. And we've got some new, you're not really new people, but some new membership, coming into play this morning. So, we don't want to leave time for that. But Genesis chapter 2, I want to read to you, verse 7, very familiar verse of scripture. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. I mentioned this in life group this morning, this particular verse of scripture, but there is something different about man than anybody or anything else that God created. Okay? And it is the fact that we are a living soul. Then verse 18, we find that the Lord God said, and he was talking to his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be here alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. So he made woman for the man. Okay? Somebody said, where did they come up with that name, woman? Well, this is my analogy, okay, or my theory. It's when God put Adam to sleep, he took the rib from his side, he created Eve. Whenever Adam saw Eve, he said, whoa, man! But no, God says it's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. I want to preach a message to you this morning. And I'll be as brief as I can because we do have a lot to do, that I have simply entitled The Collision. The Collision. The dictionary defines fellowship as a companionship, a friendly association, a mutual sharing of an experience of activities and of interest, a group of people with the same interest, or a brotherhood. The Greek word, we'll call it the biblical definition for fellowship, is koinonia. The Greek word. And it has a root meaning of being common or shared. So fellowship can be the common participation in something or with some group of people. Fellowship is an integral part of who God is. God's all about fellowship. I shared this a few weeks ago, and I stick by it today. Even when you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus loved to eat. I'm a believer in potlucks. For those of you that are newer to the Voice of Praise family, when it comes to potlucks, just let me mention a few things. I like chocolate pie. And I like macaroni and cheese made with Colby cheese. You know? Just a couple hints. Banana pudding with real vanilla wafers in it. You know? Just a few things to help you out. Jesus was all about fellowship. God is all about fellowship. It's an integral part of who He is. Jehovah God did not want His creation that was a special creation because He had breathed His breath into the nostrils of Adam. He did not want His specific, special creation to be alone. God was all about fellowship. God desired to have fellowship with His creation Himself. In fact, that we find that after God took the rib of Adam and He created Eve, and we find that then, even when after they had sinned, it was when God came down in the cool of the day to walk with Adam and Eve in the garden. His desire, it leads us to believe that that was a typical day in the life of God, if you would allow me to describe it in those terms, that He came and He had fellowship with His creation every day. God wants to have fellowship with you and I. And He wants us to have fellowship one with another. So we can safely say that God intends fellowship to be both vertical and horizontal. Vertical is our relationship with God, His desire to have fellowship with us. Horizontal is our relationship with our fellow man, or as we would say, with one another. I want us first to consider the vertical aspect of a relationship with God. In the vertical relationship with God, vertical, of course, being what we would tend to say as up and down, our text has taught us that God desires relationship. He wants to be part of our life. We're here and He is close by. We talked about that in life group this morning. But yet, we tend to think of God is higher than us. In fact, He says that His ways are so much higher than our ways. So when we think about a vertical relationship, it's our relationship with God. In Genesis 3, 8, 9, a little bit further and deeper from where we read text from, the Bible says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, asking him, 'Where are you?'" God desires to be with us. God desires fellowship with us. He desires a relationship, a vertical relationship with us. Now we know that story, that disobedience severed the relationship, and remember that the relationship is the basis of the fellowship. I want you to write that down or mark it down somewhere if you can. But I want you to remember this. Relationship is the basis of the fellowship. Okay? So the relationship between humanity, God's specific special creation, and Him, the fellowship is found in the relationship. Okay? So we find ourselves, in our looking at the scripture, we find ourselves observing that the relationship is injured by the sin of Adam and Eve. Therefore, the fellowship is also impacted. Now, this means of renewed fellowship with God is found through a relationship with Him. So how do we arrive at that? How is relationship between humanity and God, how is fellowship restored? It's very easy to say, because relationship is the basis of the fellowship. Our fellowship with God is restored through and by, and only one way, our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We find that the Gospel of John, Jesus referred to Himself as the way. The way. The reality of it is, Jesus is the only relationship whereby we can find restored fellowship with God. No other way. In fact, one portion of scripture describes that if we can make it into heaven, if we can make it into the presence of God, that we would actually be classified with thieves and robbers. So through a relationship with the Son, we find ourselves restored in fellowship with the Father. So how is that achieved? Well, first we must come into agreement with Him. Well, how do I come into agreement with Jesus? It's easy. Easily explained when you consider scripture. that when we read that, we find that there that Scripture gives us an outline. It gives us the depiction that to come into agreement with the Lord, the first thing that we have to do is acknowledge that we are lost, that we are sinners in need of a Savior. You say, well, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a fine lady. I'm sure you are. But the Bible establishes that we are all born into sin. There is not a one of us in this room that did not, if you were born out of your mother's womb, you were born into sin. And I think everyone in this room had a mother. And we're born into sin, therefore we must be reconciled. We must have fellowship restored with God. And that is only going to come through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Remember, in order for there to be fellowship, there has to be a relationship. Okay? And in that, we must acknowledge that we have the need of a Savior. We are sinners in need of a Savior. And the confession of sin is nothing more. Sometimes that scares us. You know, I can remember, you know, a lot of what we've been taught through time is confessing our sin. We have to go back and repeat and rehearse everything that we know that we've done wrong in the ear of God. Okay? Sometimes that's, you know, we've been taught that and we believe that. And you see when people get saved, you remember the days of the old altar rail, and they're not a bad thing, around the front of the church, and we'd go hang across the altar rail like this. God, forgive me for stealing the extra lunches at school. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Lord, forgive me for passing in the tunnel. I know none of y'all have done that. Lord, forgive me for passing other cars in the tunnel and switching lanes. I know I wasn't such. And we went through all of that. And certainly, old brother Pete Davis, he was an old preacher over where we come from. He couldn't read or write, but he was a preacher of the gospel. And old brother Pete Davis used to say, an honest confession is good for the soul, but it sure can be bad for the reputation if you share it with the wrong person. Okay. But listen, we confess our sins. We confess that we are a sinner. We confess that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we confess sin, it is, in essence, it is coming into the agreement with God that you need a Savior. We need someone to wash away our sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So secondly, we come into an agreement with God by confessing that we are a sinner and we have sinned. The second thing is we must believe, or we must have faith. Faith in what the Scripture says is, if you believe in your heart, Romans 10, if you believe in your heart and you confess Christ Jesus with your mouth, you shall be saved. I love that verse of Scripture. That may be my favorite verse of Scripture. But we shall be saved. If we believe in our heart and confess Christ Jesus, not our sins, but if we confess Christ Jesus with our mouth, we have to have faith. You'd say, man, that's where I struggle, preacher, because I don't have faith. I got news for you. I love you, but you're wrong. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 that every one of us has been allotted or has been distributed a measure or an allotment of faith, and God gave that to us because He knew we would have to be saved through faith in order to come into fellowship with Him. So don't tell me you don't have faith. You do. You might not have faith like you see and think some people have faith, but every single one of us in this room has the ability to believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And then, in going back to that, Romans chapter 10, thirdly, we see the verbal profession of faith, but it's the profession that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Let me tell you, a number of years ago, A number of years ago, there was a movement that went around, and I'm not saying it was totally bad or anything like that, but the movement that went around was, it was somewhat of a, it was a secret seeker type movement. It's like you become a Christian, but you don't have to tell anybody. Let me tell you, the way I see the scripture here that outlined to us, it should never be a secret that we've been saved. It can never be a secret that we've met Jesus as our Lord and Savior. In fact, we believe in our heart, and it says specifically, we confess Jesus with our mouth, and unless you are mute, you can speak the name of Jesus. You can speak. You may not even speak the English language, but you can speak Hispanic. You can speak, Mandarin, Chinese. You can speak all kinds of different language, but whatever language you speak that Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of my life, and I have believed Him in faith. And I find that as being one of the qualifications or one of the necessities of coming into relationship with Christ so that we may once again be restored to fellowship with the Father. So though by those means, by those three means, we come into agreement that we are sinners that need to be saved by grace. We believe, we all have faith, and we must believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord. And then thirdly, the verbal profession of faith that we declare that Jesus is Lord of my life. Those three things are the basis of salvation. From there we grow, and from there we develop, and there's so much that God has for us, but that is the basis, and that establishes the vertical relationship between God and man. Then we begin to think about the horizontal relationship. The horizontal relationship, horizontal, horizon, beautiful. Hey, one good thing about the time, we got to see the sun come up this morning on our way out of the house. Horizontal, across the board, if you would. Of course, the unsaved, let me say this, the unsaved must have fellowship and relationship with their fellow man. Don't ever think Jesus saved you for you to lock yourself up in a bubble. In fact, to the contrary. He says, go into last week, faith commitment. Go into all the world. Thank you all for that gave and turned in your cards last week. And don't forget to turn in those faith commitment cards if you would like to support missions. But go out into all the world. Certainly we're supposed to have fellowship with people that are not believers. We're supposed to have a relationship with them. We're supposed to be able to talk to them and share Jesus with them. However, the community of believers is described and is illustrated through the means of the human anatomy when you read Romans chapter 12, verse 3 and verse 2, verse 7. You find there that Paul describes the human anatomy, and he describes as one body made up of many parts. That's me and you. Some may think it's strange, but I don't have but two big toes, one on each foot. And some of you might have more than that, but not me. Our bodies are intricately designed and fashioned in the model of God. And we may look different. Some of us have bigger noses than others. Some of us are taller. Some of us are shorter. Some of us are, well, I'm not going to go there. But nonetheless, we're all different. But yet, it's the diversity of who we are that make up the body of Christ. We're different in our giftings. We're different in our callings. I used to love it. You know, when I was a teenager, it was that old time country church, and there wasn't a thing in the world wrong with that, by the way. When the preacher would get up and say, "All right, who got Sunday night especially? All right, who got a special for us tonight? And Sister Susie, come on up here and sing us a song." "Oh no, brother, I don't think I have one tonight." Sister Susie, come on, sing us a special. "Oh brother, I don't think I have one." The whole time she's digging around wad in her purse. You know, she's got that big old wad of salt in there. And then say, oh, Sister Susie, well, you don't want to say, oh, I'm on my way right now. And Sister Susie gets up and she'll say, now, I ain't much of a singer. Don't y'all pay no attention to me that's listening to the words. Well, you know when Sister Susie, when she started, you realize what she meant, okay? We're all different in our giftings. And God's not calling us to operate necessarily outside of our gifts, but He is calling us to discover our gifts. But here's the deal that I'm getting to tonight. That we are one body made up of many members. We're not alike. Our giftings are different. Our works are different. Our talents are different. But God uses all of that and brings us together in relationship to create the body of Christ. And we call it the church. So together, we have a relationship that creates the fellowship that we call the body of Christ. There's an old saying that says, we're better together. The Bible tells us if one falls into the ditch when we're together, there's somebody else to help him pull it out. It tells us when we're plied together, a threefold cord is not easily broken. It teaches us the principle that when one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. You mash one of those four big toes that you have, and your whole body is going to hurt. And we find that the Scripture teaches us there's strength in numbers. You see, the church is very important. The body of Christ is very important. The assembly, whatever name you want to call it, is very important. Somebody said, well, I can serve Jesus all alone by myself. Sure you can, but you can do so much more when you're together. You come into that relationship, and that relationship creates the fellowship that we call the church. Well, what does all that have to do with the collision? Well, here's the deal. When the collision occurs, you find that you're at the cross. For the horizontal to exist in its fullness, there must be the vertical. Now, that's not, I gave just a little bit on top, but you know, traditionally we make a cross with a prominent amount sticking over the top beam. But in reality, if you study the Roman cross probably was a beam that sat down on a horizontal beam that actually sat down on top of the vertical beam. That the reason it's depicted in portraits and pictures was probably the sign, the insignia that the Romans put above the head of Jesus. In reality, the weight of the horizontal beam sat on the vertical. Are y'all with me? I feel like I just lost you. So the fact of the matter is, the horizontal, to exist in its fullness, must first have the vertical. No matter if it's your marriage relationship, if it's a casual friendship, or any other kind of relationship or fellowship that you're in, it will not be complete until the vertical has been established. Some of you have been married a long time. How many years you've been married, Loretta? I know Ballard won't know. 60? 68? 68 years. It has to be all three of them. Ballard, Loretta, and Jesus. For if you've just been married for a few weeks, a few days, a few months, whatever, let me tell you. Or if you're just thinking about getting married, let me tell you, it needs to be all three of you. You, your spouse, and Jesus. Every relationship that exists that is going to bring you into fellowship must be built on the horizontal, resting on the vertical. As the horizontal rests on the vertical, it creates the image of the cross. And let me leave this with you this morning. At the cross, you know, it's an old song, but we used to sing that old song. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart was rolled away. Is that right? It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the way. Hey, we did good. Let's do that again. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my soul was rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. The cross. The collision occurs when vertical and horizontal meet at the cross. That's when relationship is restored and fellowship is renewed. Relationships with one another come into fellowship when we meet at the cross. Relationship with humanity and Jesus Christ is met when we become in relationship with Jesus Christ, and then fellowship is restored with God. At the cross. At the cross. That's where the collision occurred. And I know we're a little bit away from Easter, okay? We're a little bit away from Good Friday, if maybe a month or so. But let me tell you, I have in my idea, in my mind, I can picture this, that whenever that cross beam that with Jesus was nailed to was set upon that vertical, when the horizontal sat down upon the vertical, it wasn't put up there with great finesse. It wasn't set up there with any cushion and any softness. I believe that they probably dropped Jesus. They probably dropped the horizontal on the vertical, and there was pain that was inflicted in the process of that. But the fact of the matter is, it's where the collision occurred, and that's where relationship was initiated, and that's where fellowship was restored, and that's still the process that we need today, is to have a collision in our life. As they come back, before we take the new membership in, I want to ask you this morning. I want you to just bow your heads with me just for a moment. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then there is no fellowship between you and God. I know some of you all experienced recent loss, and thank God we were able to preach these funerals with confidence in knowing that Jesus is faithful to save. But you know what? I walk through cemeteries, I drive through cemeteries, I do funeral services, I read obituaries online, and I find out, when I read that, my perception could be that everybody goes to heaven. But I want you to know this, everybody doesn't go to heaven. See, the only way we get to heaven, because, heaven is a type of the Garden of Eden, a type of, it's where the presence of God, where God walks with His creation in the cool of the day. Listen, the only way you can be in heaven with Jesus, the Father, and dwell there eternally with the Holy Spirit, the only way you can do that is through being in right fellowship with God. And the only way you can be in right fellowship with God is be in relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no other way to get to God other than Jesus Christ. You can build a tower, but God will confound your language. You know, you can get in one of Elon Musk's jets, one of his space stations, but you'll never reach heaven. The only way that you will get to heaven, the only way that you'll have fellowship restored with God is through and by Jesus Christ. So if you're here today, heads bowed, not going to prolong this, and eyes closed, I want to ask you a question. If you're not in relationship with Jesus Christ, understand that you're not in fellowship with God. And if you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior in this room today, without any embarrassment, I'm not going to point you out, I'm not going to come and get you, but I want to ask you this. Would you just simply raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to be in right relationship with Jesus Christ. Is there one person in this room? One person at all. Is there one person that says, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life? Because it's important to be in fellowship with God. I take it by the lack of response. Everybody in this room is ready to go to heaven. Everybody in this room has a relationship with Jesus. If I'm wrong, I urge you to do something about it. Only you can do. Only you can achieve what needs to be achieved in your life, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. So Father, today I pray for everybody in this room. I pray that, Lord, that we all will be restored in right relationship with you. Lord Jesus, I want to know you. I want to experience you. I want to be your friend as we sang that song, Friend of God. And Lord, I want to be brought into fellowship with you. Lord, I want to be in fellowship with my church, but more importantly, I want to be in fellowship with you. Lord, I want the horizontal of my life to rest upon the vertical. I want, Lord, to be centered and founded upon you. And Jesus, I pray that prayer for every person in this room. May our lives be centered on you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.